Son iPhone, regarde, c'est génial, hein.
From Hollywood, California, and New York, New York, it's the Bi-Coastal Hoot Nanny, starring Nate and Adam. This week, comedian and film director Dan Goodman. And now, your hosts, Adam Wilson and Nathan Frizzell.
Thank you, Emily Ann Hyman, for yet another dexterous introduction.
Dexterous. Very good word.
Skillful. Workmanlike, satisfactory, average, poor.
Average.
I don't know. Now I'm getting worse and worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, average seems to be a step in the opposite direction.
That's right. But she's way better than average. That's Emily Ann Hyman in Bowling Green, Kentucky, on the coast of some lake that was made by an earthquake in 1812, I believe.
You're just a fountain of knowledge, sir.
Looked like a fountain of an estimated, that was really more a drip from the fountain of an educated guess. Nevertheless, welcome to the Bi-Coastal Hootenanny, starring Nate and Adam. I am and Adam, Adam Wilson, that is, in New York, New York, this week. That is the island of Manhattan, specifically the Chelsea neighborhood, where it is 52 degrees Fahrenheit and very sunny outside.
And I am starring Nate Frizzell in Hollywood, California, where it is mostly sunny outside and nice 65 degrees, with highs today expected at 75 degrees. Low tonight at 55 degrees, just in case you were wondering. I have consumed a lot of vodka in the last 12 hours. So bear with me if I am a little rough today.
Vodka, huh?
Vodka.
What is that the drink that hangs you over the most? Or is there...
No, as a matter of fact, vodka is pretty good to me. It's just when I have a lot of it. You know, just like any alcohol, it takes its toll.
Is there a drink that takes no toll at all on you in terms of like the next day as far as hangovers?
You know, I don't think so. I think beer gives me massive shits. Whiskey has more of an effect on me the night of. Like I start to get angry, but I'll have a really terrible headache. Mm-hmm. Gin just makes me feel gross the next day. I think scotch is probably – good scotch is probably the drink that doesn't really – hurt me much the next day.
You know, mine is, and it seems almost white trash of me, but the one drink that I can drink, or it's two of them. I got two drinks that I can drink just tons of, and they do nothing to me in terms of the next, they'll get me drunk, but the next day I'm totally fine. An Irish car bomb and a Pat O'Brien's Hurricane. I can drink like 20 of each, and the next day I can take the SATs and score my usual 643.
Oh.
I mean 1543.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. Hurricanes don't do anything to you, huh? I mean, do they get you drunk quickly like they do everybody else?
Oh, they do. Oh, they get me drunk. It's a very happy drunk. It's it's almost as if I've never done cocaine, but I feel like I'm a talkative person, and so, which is pretty much why I shouldn't do cocaine, because it would make that even worse. But I do feel very chatty and very, very skilled with the tongue in more ways than one when I drink. Very skilled with that Chuck Berry red tongue you get from a Pat O'Brien's Hurricane.
Got it. Well, you know why it's a happy drunk? It's because it's like you're drinking Kool-Aid. It's like, oh, it's taking me back to my childhood, but suddenly I'm dizzy. And it's not because I've been spinning around in my front yard with playing Dizzy Bat. You know, it tastes like juice. And then before you know it, you're puking on Bourbon Street.
Right. So it's basically red drank with rum in it.
He's red drank. That's right. Let me have a... Y'all got red drank at this restaurant?
No, sir.
We're not Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. We don't have Kool-Aid on the menu.
Tell me if I'm an asshole for this. I was hanging out with some friends at a karaoke bar for this hot chick I know named Diane.
Yes, you're an asshole. Oh, that wasn't...
Right. There was a gay guy that I met there, and we were just talking small talk and whatever. And he was talking about how he had served in Iraq and, you know, had to be in the closet while he was in the army. He got out a few years ago before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. So he served his whole time in the closet, which was sort of funny to me because the guy was obvious. I mean, he was, you know, he oozed gay, like he was one of the, you know what I mean? Like I only have so much gaydar, and it all came from majoring in theater at LSU. But it was beeping, it was going off the hook, you know. Well, the guy was obviously gay, and then he said, you know, as we're kind of getting to know each other a little bit, he said, "Oh yeah, and I have a 7-year-old son." And then without missing a beat, I said, "Who's the father?" And he looked at me like that was offensive. Like I figured, I don't know. Am I an ass for that? Or?
You know, I know you, so no, I don't think you're an ass for that. I could see how he might think you're an ass.
Right.
Because I know you, and I know that you didn't mean it that way, but hearing it from you, maybe not knowing you as well as I do, yeah. That was harsh.
All right. Fine.
Well, that's just like, I think you ask gay people, it's like, hey, which one of you is the man? Or you ask two lesbians, which one of you is the woman? I don't think that that's an appropriate question.
Well, that's a stupid question because that basically implies that you don't know anything about interpersonal relationships or human sexuality. And you have a very monolithic view of sexuality. But this, sorry, I think it was a funny joke. And it in no way implied that I know nothing about human sexuality, of which I know very little, because we all know very little, because it's such a complicated issue.
Sure. It's such a – there's so many levels. But no, I mean, I think that, you know, I would have laughed if I had been standing right there. But like I said, I mean, how well did you know this guy?
I'd known him for about 12 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, not knowing you as well as I do, I think that he might have taken that the wrong way. Did he continue talking to you, or was that it? Did that kill the conversation?
A little bit. I mean, yeah, he talked to me a little bit, but it was like an awkward moment, and he kind of gave me the stink eye a couple times. And I mean, he looked at me like mean. Like, he didn't like show me his asshole. He just gave me the stink eye. You know what the stink eye is?
Yeah, of course.
Basically, he was a catty bitch the rest of the night. So you know, I don't know.
He went back to sipping his Cosmo and talking about
more like drinking my Miller Lite. But you know, whatever. It was a BYOB place, and he, you know, so he's jacking my beer and giving me the stink eye.
Well, he's probably thinking, man, I served this country to have people like you imply that I'm not the father of my own child.
It's not the anyway. I was implying that he. Do I have to explain myself? That wasn't offensive. I'm sorry. Fuck him.
By the way, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying I feel like he might have taken it that way. Right. And by the way, you know, some people are just too sensitive. I think, you know. You ask certain gay people that I know if, you know, questions like that, they probably laugh at you and tell you go fuck yourself, but then they would carry on.
Right.
You know.
What happened to you this week? You got big news, huh?
Yeah. I know I mentioned this last week.
Is somebody getting El Chair?
Not El Chair, but El Jail.
El Jail.
Yes. Now that the trial is over, I can talk about it.
You had jury duty. I had jury duty. Yeah.
And it was in federal court.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, if you're ever going to get jury duty, try to get it in federal court because they treat you well there. At least they do out here. You make $40 a day instead of $8 or whatever it is at the county level. So you're moving on up in the world.
I didn't realize you were paid to do jury duty.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. This is a whole nother issue, but like, I feel like they're going to make you like miss work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They have to compensate you somehow.
I guess.
I say they just give everybody that they call that actually has to sit on a jury duty. Mm-hmm. They give them a tax break to make up for some of the damage.
Well, I thought the deal was that your employer kind of has to pay for it.
Like not every place is bound by that.
Okay.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of like I have friends who. Our servers and bartenders, if they get called into jury duty, their restaurants don't have to cover them for that.
Right.
And even some 9-to-5s don't have to do that. I don't even know what the regulation is, but it's not always the employer's job to you know make up for it. But anyway, so we this is the story of jury duty. So the case is. These three guys get caught on this thing they call a ponga boat out in the waters near Santa Barbara. Man. And they have about, I think it was a ton and a half of marijuana on their boat. Mm. And, you know, they're caught, they're arrested, they're brought in, everything like that. it's pretty open and shut, like, just from the evidence. But, you know, you have to come into it as a jury duty member, presuming innocence until proven guilty. And that is where I think a lot of people got tripped up by the time that we were in deliberation. The government did a really great job of laying out all the evidence, and according to the lettering of the charges that we had to decide on, he was guilty.
Yeah.
You know, they were tricky with the language, but that wasn't our job to interpret. Anyway, we had a bunch of people in there arguing from their heart. Oh, I just don't feel like he's a bad guy. I just don't believe he's guilty. It's like, no. Take feel.
Yeah, feel.
Take believe. Yeah. Uh-huh. Out of those fucking sentences and throw them out the window. That's right. Not what we're here to do. They like to meet jury foreman. And, I wasn't going to be the foreman on any hung jury.
Mm-hmm.
We decided on was it Monday morning, and it was guilty on all counts.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to doubt yourself because it's like, holy shit, we're sending this guy to jail for a long time.
Yeah, and you're the foreman. You're the guy. Who says...
I'm the guy that's like, if he's gonna put my face on his jail time because I'm the one that sent him. But that being said, we did the right thing at the end of the day.
So it's, you're telling me you sent a Mexican man to jail for smoking weed?
No, not smoking, for importing. None of us in the jury room really believed that the marijuana should be illegal. I didn't even think we had an old white woman in there. She's probably in her late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. She didn't even think marijuana should be illegal. But
it is.
Our job was that it is. They broke the law, and we had to enforce it. You know, it's like, because this poor guy, his wife was sick. He had a son he had to support. He was out of work. He couldn't find work. I think he was a good guy who just got approached to make a lot of money and took an opportunity, and that was that.
So this is basically the pilot of a new series called Breaking El Bad.
Yeah, right. 12 Angry Hombres.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an equally fascinating and frustrating experience. We just had, like I said, it was that experience of trying to deal with people who did not want to argue, who did not want to think. They just wanted to feel.
Right.
That was incredibly frustrating because at a certain point they had no more arguments to make. So you had 10 people sitting there looking at the other two, just like twiddling our thumbs, just like, well, what are we going to do? Tell us why. And they had no arguments. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, guys, let's go through this again. And we kept doing that over and over. It was this whole dance. It was crazy.
That's very American of you, Nate. Good job.
Thank you.
People like you that make this the greatest damn country on earth.
Well, thanks. I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free.
And you know what else is American? The United States Postal Service. And that is why we're going to open up La Boite aux Lettres right now. We got a letter. We got another email.
2 weeks in a row.
I'm sorry, 2 weeks in a row we got an email. And I'll read the letter as follows. To my favorite Angelino and Brooklynite, I love your show. It makes my Mondays go faster. What can you do about the rest of the work week, teehee? My question to you is as follows. What are your favorite demonyms? Did you know that Newcastle is to Novocastrian as Liverpool is to Liverpudlian? Connecticut, you ask? Well, those people are called nutmeggers, but you guys probably knew that already, smiley face. Yours truly, Sarah in Gowanus, Brooklyn. Well, Sarah, thank you very much for your letter. And yes, Nate and I did know that about Newcastle and Liverpool, that is, the Novocastrians and Liverpudlians. And I believe we both also knew about Connecticuters being known as nutmeggers. Correct, Nate?
I did not know that about nutmeggers. No, I did not.
It's like the nutmeg state. Well, it's the Constitution state, but then it's also the nutmeg state. You know how like every state kind of has two or three nicknames?
Sure.
Do you know
sure.
the two for Louisiana right off the top of your head?
No.
Do you know either one of them, the nicknames?
I probably do, but I'm hungover.
You stupid ass. The Pelican state and the Bayou state.
I knew the Pelican had something to do with it.
Cool. Anyway. and Sarah, thank you for referring to Nate as an Angelino, because he's in Los Angeles. And yes. Or he could also be known as a Hollywegian. By my estimation, because he lives in Hollywood. And a Hollywoodsman, a Hollywoodpecker. And myself as a Brooklynite, because I live in the borough of Brooklyn. I have actually been thinking about this quite often lately, and I've been making lists of New York neighborhoods and coming up with demonyms for them. For example, I say if you live in Boreham Hill, you're a boar, a B-O-E-R, the German kind, you know. If you live in Ditmas Park, you are a Ditmasian. If you live in Gowanus, Brooklyn, like Sarah, our letter writer, you are a Gowanese.
Oh, look at you.
I myself live in Greenwood, Brooklyn, so I'm Greenwegian. That's what I say.
Greenwegian.
If you live just south of me in Sunset Park, you're a Sunsetter. If you live in Chelsea, Manhattan, which is where I'm broadcasting from right now, you're a cello or a cella. That's what I say.
Or if you're a Latino who lives in that neighborhood, you're a chola.
Oh, yeah. Very good. If you live in Hell's Kitchen, I call you a Clintonian because the place is also called Clinton. Or I could call you a shark or a jet, but, you know. Yeah. If you live in Kips Bay, you're a Kipper. If you live in Little Italy, you're a Stallone. Because you're a little Italian. If you live in the Lower East Side, you're a Delancer, because that is in reference to James Delancey's Colonial Farm, which is coterminous with the area. If you live in Times Square, your rent is probably sky high, unless you're one of those rent control assholes that gets to live in an apartment in Times Square for $80 a month. You're a timekeeper. And one I worked on really hard. If you're from the Upper West Side, I call you a bloomer. That's because the area was once known to the Dutch as Bloemendaal, which is anglicized to Bloomingdale. So I call you a bloomer.
Look at you. You sat down and went through all this.
Yes. But, Sarah, not to bust balls, we are not an Angeleno and a Brooklynite. We are a New Orleanian and a West Monrovian, or right. Coonasses. So.
Do you know, since you use the term coonass, I'm going to go ahead and I've said that a few times out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it sounds way worse than it is.
Well, I didn't ever realize, you know, because people say it all the time back in Louisiana and out here, everybody's right. Like, whoa, what did you just say?
Right.
What did you just say? I'm like, what?
Oh, because coon is a slur against blacks, but coonass is completely unrelated and completely acceptable as gringo is acceptable to Americans. It's
right.
By no means
of it. Or redneck. You know, it's basically a Louisiana redneck is
right.
What it is.
I actually don't know the I don't know the etymology of the term coonass.
No.
But I do know that the etymology of the term corn dog, which is what people call LSU fans or Louisianians, people call us corn dogs because a coonass smells like corn dogs, supposedly.
Well, I've never noticed that, but I'll have to – next time I'm down in Galliano or something, I'll have to check it out.
Right. That said, I have experienced the same phenomenon, the same misunderstanding you've experienced. Anytime I say coonass, it turns ahead. I'm like, no, it's not that. It's not what you – it's not that. We're good. Trust me, we're good. Not that
the
stupid.
The needle scratches off the record. Glasses break. Everybody turns and looks at you.
Right. The midget from Bad Santa goes, what you said? I'm going to knock you in your mouth.
I'm gonna bust your ass.
Yeah.
So let me try to do some. I haven't sat down and thought this out like you, but I'll do some demonyms for Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'll help you. I'll help you out. I'm really good at this. So.
Okay, so obviously, Los Angeles residents are Angelenos,
mm-hmm.
Hollywoods or Hollywegians or Holly weirdos,
nice.
Which can also be applied to North Hollywood and West Hollywood. So North Hollywegian, West Hollywegian. A Los Feliz-ian, which in the area of Los Feliz. Mm-hmm. We could have a Beverly Hills would be Beverlayan, perhaps.
Or a Beverly Hilltopper.
Brentwood would also be Brentwegian.
Or a Brenter.
Or Brent Woodsman.
Or a Brent.
A Brent, yeah. let's see, what other parts of the town do we have? We got Culver City. I prefer the term Culverian.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sounds very Star Trek-ish. What other parts? That Santa Monica. Ooh, Santa Monican?
A Santa Monican. There you go.
Santa Monican. There you go. That kind of rolls trippingly off the tongue.
Right.
All right, I'm done with this game.
If you're from West Hollywood, you're known as a homosexual.
Right. Adam, do you know what happens if you Google demonym?
No, I don't. What happens?
So obviously the first entry is demonym.
Right, like the definition
right
of the word.
That, it says demonym for Niger. And the first article that comes up when I click on that
is
a blog, a blog post from something called globalaxioms.blogspot.com.
Hold on, pause. You say demonym for Niger, meaning somebody is wondering what the demonym for a person from Niger is. What might you call them? Obviously, we know what answer for which they are looking.
Right. Mm-hmm. But apparently it's a question for a lot of people, enough to have a blog post entitled, "So you're from Niger. Oh, wow, I've never met a..." Embarrassing pause.
Oh, wait a minute. But actually, that might be a legitimate question, because there is a country to the west of Niger called Nigeria. So...
Exactly.
Do they have the same demonym? Are they both Nigerians? They can't be both Nigerians, right?
They are both Nigerians. However, Niger is Nigerian. Nigeria is Nigerian. So one is I-E-N. The other is I-A-N. I don't, you know, obviously uh-huh. that.
Well,
you know, unless you see it spelled.
With an A is Nigeria. That's where Hakeem Olajuwon is Nigerian, in that he is from Lagos, Nigeria. I don't know what the capital of Niger is. I don't really care. But that is a Nigerian. Oh, but and also because that is a Francophile country, and like Nigeria is an English speaking country. Niger is a Francophile country. So that's why there's the IEN, which is a French suffix.
Is that along the Côte d'Ivoire?
No, it's not particularly even close to it. It's actually closer to the Gold Coast. The Ivory Coast is way, way west Africa, and the Gold Coast is kind of that south part of that little gulf. Oh. I forget what that gulf is, but, you know, like that inner part of the elephant ear of Africa. So,
folks, you learn something new every day here on the Hootenanny.
And now it is time for our news segment, The Probe, starring Nathan Frizzell.
Hi, I'm Nathan Frizzell. Welcome to The Probe, where we go deep. Hey, Adam.
Yes.
Let me start with an article about, it's called celebrity swapping. Have you ever heard of that?
No. What's celebrity swatting?
Well, let me start by telling you this. Or asking you this. What do Selena Gomez, Justin Timberlake, Rihanna, and Sean P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Snoop Lion, Combs, have in common?
They've all gotten to third base with Justin Bieber.
That's very true. At least that's what I've heard. They've all recently been victims of this thing called celebrity swatting, mm-hmm. which derives its name from a call to police in which SWAT team action must be taken. Over the last week, each of the aforementioned celebrities were the targets of swatting, after police received prank phone calls which claimed various crimes were being committed at the celebrities' homes. According to these pranksters, Selena Gomez's dad killed her mom and was going to burn the house down. Justin Timberlake's home had been invaded by four black men who fired some shots and left a bomb-like device. Racists. Someone had apparently been shot and wounded in Rihanna's home, and a guest was assaulted at the home of Combs. None of these allegations turned out to be even close to true. Rihanna wasn't even home. And neither was Combs when the police arrived. And the police are now searching for the pranksters. So somebody's going to be in some trouble when they get caught.
Wow. So these are just some serious prank calls. We're sure this isn't Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla?
Yeah, right. It's possible. Can you imagine? Like, you're like, you're home, you're Justin Timberlake. Like, the world is at your feet.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then all of a sudden the SWAT team busts through your fucking front door. Where are the four black men at?
Oh, yeah,
tell us.
I was actually just thinking about that. That reminds me of Shaquille O'Neal when he was a sheriff he was working for the sheriff's department in Miami Dade County in Florida. He was doing a sting operation where they were looking for child predators, and so he was basically on AIM, you know, pretended to be a 12-year-old boy, and they kind of caught a guy saying some nasty things to a boy, like a little boy that he was pretending to be. So they go over to his house. Shaq kicks in the door and says, like, "Freeze, motherfucker!" But they had the wrong house. So imagine being that guy, you know? Shaq walks in, points a gun at your face.
Holy shit, Shaq? I'm such a big fan.
Yeah, you know, you're a big fan of Shaq. He's wanting to kill. Basically, you know what it's like. You know firsthand what it's like being in a really shitty movie starring Shaquille O'Neal.
You're right. No. Do you now? If you're a huge Shaq fan, he busts through your door, pointing a gun at you. When they apologize and realize they got it wrong, do you forgive him and go back to being a fan? Or for the rest of your life, are you tainted? Is your opinion of Shaq tainted forever?
Shaquille O'Neal played a part. If I'm a Miamian, or if I'm a dater, if I'm a... you know, that's a man who helped get me my first NBA title as a Miami Heat fan. So, which then reminds me of that movie Big Fan starring Patton Oswalt, where his favorite player beats the shit out of him, and then he has to judge whether to file a lawsuit and whether to tattle on him with the DA, or go to jail for obstruction of justice and let the Giants win the Super Bowl, basically.
It's a tough decision.
Hey, I see another news story on the rundown that we got to get to because of who we've got in the studio with us. I'm broadcasting from Chelsea in Manhattan, which is about 99 miles from a point of controversy.
Well, Philadelphia, once capital of the United States, is it's a great place. It's a great city for many reasons. They have the world's largest clothes pin. You can bring your own wine into restaurants, which you could actually do anywhere, so I don't know why that's a special thing. It's got the Liberty Bell, if I'm not mistaken. Unfortunately, they're not that great at race relations and nuance, according to an article on Gawker.com, because residents are freaking out that a Philly cheesesteak shop, known since 1949 as Chink's Steaks, has just changed its name to Joe's Steaks and Soda Shop. Chink's was named for its original owner, whose name was not Chink, but oh boy, did he look like one, according to his grade school classmates. The Philadelphia Inquirer notes the late Samuel Chink Sherman had, quote, almond-shaped eyes. Folks in the shop's neighborhood understand why someone, somewhere at some point, maybe could find the well-known racial slur inappropriate, but they stopped just short of admitting that it actually is. So there we go.
Well, we've got somebody with us. We've got a comedian and filmmaker, Dan Goodman, a native of Philadelphia, in the studio with us. Dan.
Hello.
You've been to Chink's many times, I
assume. I've been to Chink's. It's delicious.
Is it racist?
No, it's delicious.
There we have it.
I mean, I wish I had, like, more analysis, but it's just delicious. I feel like the argument should just stop at, like, is it good? It's delicious. I got very upset at the article on Gawker because it's as usual about internet journalism. It's an article about a real journalist's work,
right?
Like she took excerpts of an actual well written article about Chink's, very balanced. They interviewed lots of people in the neighborhood, all first primary sources,
covered all sides of the argument.
Uh-huh. And then she goes, can you believe what these people think?
And she chose the five or six,
yeah, like racist things to be like, hey, these guys are racist. And I'm like, you know, who cares?
And you told me the other day that she, and what's her, Nate, what's her name?
Who are we talking about?
The writer of this stupid Gawker article.
Katie Weaver. Now, if this, by the way, before you go on, just to tell you what kind of a person you're dealing with, she spells her name C-A-I-T-Y.
Right. So when she gets fired from Gawker, she's going to be working on the poll.
She's not cute, but it's okay. She's,
right.
I mean, I just don't like.
Is she fat?
No, she's not fat. She's just some dumb.
Well, then she's not cute to me.
She's not. She's just some skinny bitch who's like, Philly. I mean, every news article ever has always started with Philadelphia. Nation's birthplace has problems with race relations.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, I know. Yeah. The people in Boston do a thing with their R.
Right.
You know, like, I get it. It's like the sports, you know, it is race relations stories get recycled like sports stories, where it's like every year there's a new redemption song.
Mm-hmm.
Every year there's a racially divided city, you know, on the outskirts of what. I mean, I got mad. I get super mad.
But you got mad, and you told me this the other day. You got mad because this girl thought she was a hero and thought she was going to expose some kind of racist, some kind of she basically decried racism and then painted a city with 3 million people with a broad brush, is inherently, and as far as what part of the brain you're using, the same thing as racism.
I tweeted at her that point. I've yet to get a retweet. You know, I was expecting her to be like, oh, that's a great point, Dan.
Yeah, right.
Pardon me, though, in retrospect, now I'm less mad. I realize that I got caught up in the shit everybody gets caught up online, which is like, you know, boutique outrage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like the new indie rock band of like, oh, here's this tiny thing I'm mad about. And she, I'm sure the people of Gawker, it's like they got a shit ton of traffic from people. You look at the comments, it's a billion people from Philly on their website being like, you stink.
Isn't that the name of their site? Isn't the purpose of that article to get you to gawk at their site? Isn't that what gawking is? Is that looking?
It's just looking. Yeah. But this is like, she's like, you know what? That chick is like a hipster Stephen A. Smith. She's just like, she's just saying things that are going to get people mad. And everyone's going to hate her. But guess what? The internet doesn't, they don't measure outrage. They just measure traffic.
Right.
So it's like to the advertisers, I'm sure it was the best article they wrote that week.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, so that's Katie. What's her face, Nate? What's her
Katie Weaver?
Katie
Weaver. I almost feel like we should pronounce it KIT Weaver because that's probably how she wants to say it.
Probably. She's the kind of chick that shits in a bucket at Zuccotti Park and then tells us how much it doesn't stink. And I'm not kidding.
I believe that's true.
Well, you know, it's like what I want to know is that like. I know that word has become synonymous with, you know, it's a derogatory term for Asian folks. I think specifically Chinese people.
Right.
But just by having the same name, like, for example, can you not say a chink in the armor anymore?
Because not if you're on ESPN and you're married to a Korean woman. No, you can't.
I mean, look, my friend has a great t-shirt. He went to Barbados. There's a guy named Nigel. This is very applicable. And it says he owned a bar. He's married to a Barbadian woman, and it's called Niggy's Bar and Grill. And it's like it's in Barbados. There's like some white people in Barbados, but not a lot,
right?
Like, and everybody's fine with it because his name's Nigel,
right?
Like everybody's. It was a nickname, you know. Like
his nickname is Niggy.
Yeah, for short for Nigel.
Right.
The Mexicans call each other Chino all the time. The fat Mexican that looks like he's Chinese, that's a common Mexican nickname, is Chino.
Right.
There's a rapper named Chino XL. I mean, what makes me super mad is, like, this chick probably owns a Foxy Brown album, and she calls herself the Chinky-Eyed Don Diva on every album.
I don't know what it is.
And she doesn't make delicious steaks. they're ignoring the delicious steak fact.
Right.
I feel like the outrage is because, you know, I feel like we're just sort of kowtowing to this whole idea of, oh, because it's worded, it's got the same word as something that people find offensive, then suddenly we have to accommodate that. And it's like, well, this KIT Weaver doesn't even go on to explain why he had the nickname Chink. Like, she just says that people described him as having, quote, almond-shaped eyes, but she doesn't say that that's where he got his nickname from.
I have almond-shaped eyes, too, because I'm a fucking human.
Yeah.
That's what my eyes are shaped like.
You know, he was probably like a fat pig-faced, you know.
Yeah, like, so what if his nickname was acquired, like, completely innocently? I don't even know if innocently is a word, but I'm going to use it.
You were just in jury duty. You don't know the word innocently?
Well, I have. I'm
Gil
hungover.
Knows one word.
That's right.
but yes, you know, it's like maybe it was a completely innocent nickname, and suddenly because it's synonymous with an offensive term, we have to accommodate that. It's like, no, you know what? We don't have to accommodate. This is America.
Here's the thing. I don't even. And Dan may disagree with me here. I don't even have an issue with them actually resolving to change the name. If there's that many people that feel uncomfortable with that name, and especially if the owners of the shop deem it necessary to change the name to keep up their business, more power to them. The issue here is with KIT, that little skinny ass whore who probably eats tofu for breakfast, Weaver, who decides to label all Philadelphians racist it's. No, more than 96%, frankly.
No, she inadvertently brought up like a great – that you're right. She brought up – she inadvertently in her bad article about racism where nobody got hurt and people just got served delicious steaks.
Right.
She brought up a real issue of racism, which is what you told me. It's like regionalism.
Basically, calling a guy chink fed the world delicious cheesesteaks.
Right.
And if that is racism, then tattoo a swastika on my forehead and count me in.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. Because there's a comment actually below the article that says, I moved to the Deep South from Philadelphia, and I have yet to see as much overt aggressive racism as I saw every day there. Now, okay, and the guy goes on to say, don't get me wrong, the Deep South is racist as shit, but Philly is something special. Now, okay, That's, I mean, that's this whole generalization thing. It's like, you know what? Let's be honest. There are racist people everywhere. But for this lady to say, oh, look at Philadelphia. What a racist city, because there was a restaurant there that changed its name and some people are upset.
And that's the other thing is, like, why is his – that people people's opinions don't – like, they've suddenly become facts. Like, some guy says, I went to Philly and it was racist. And it's like, that dude could have watched, like, Silver Linings Playbook on a bootleg DVD and been like, that town stinks. They're mean.
You know what movie I bet he didn't watch? Rocky III, where a former adversary who is a different race from Mr. Balboa helped him and became a hero and maybe even a protagonist.
And, then, you know, the thing – actually, I will argue that Philly is a racist city. It's about 60 – downtown's about 65-7% black. And those people are super racist. They're very racist. Like, they see everything through a field of race.
Right.
And, like, so I don't know. I mean, it's no more – I mean, people in L.A., like, think they're not racist because they watched that movie Crash. I'm like, what is it? I mean, who knows? I don't know. It's such a – that's the other thing. Is like, people – the word racist, they need to stop throwing it around.
Right.
Because it's a slur. First off, it's a total slur.
The racist is now – racism is being confused with – noticing somebody's race.
Yeah, like, totally.
For example, I remember working at next to a Bleeding Heart over at the Kinko's on State Street in Baton Rouge, and there were two district managers that walked in, and the guy said, "Hey, take these papers to Terry over there." And I was like, "Terry, black one?" And he was like, whoa, dude, you don't have to be racist." And I was like, "Is there anything wrong with being black?" And he was like, "Well, of course not." And I was like, "Then there's nothing wrong with me noticing that somebody's black. Stop being an asshole."
No, nobody at Chink's prevented, like, Chinese – it was not like Chinese people couldn't eat their delicious steaks.
Or it's not like the Chinese employee at Chink's made 70 cents on the dollar and had to be better at math than everybody else.
Nobody did anything. That is what's frustrating about, like, nobody did anything. Nobody's feelings got hurt. The Inquirer interviewed the Vietnamese nail salon next door. Mm-hmm. They asked them, "What do you think about the name?" And the lady was like, "I don't understand, like, what, like – I like she understood the English of the question, but like I don't know, and I don't really.
Right.
I work 60 hours a week. Like, what do I care?
Right.
If the delicious cheesesteak.
Yeah. Thank God for these white people who are here and put on this earth to tell blacks and Asians and gays and women when they're supposed to be offended, because obviously they're too stupid to notice for themselves.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's racism right there. When you think that blacks and women and gays and whatever are too stupid to figure out for themselves when they're supposed to be offended, you're the racist, you're the bigot, go fuck yourself. Sorry to sit on my soapbox made of ivory tower-shaped high horses while resting on my laurels, but that's what I believe. I am a real American.
I think, but the only thing that makes me mad is that, like, then all these people, because I played soccer in Torresdale, that's where the neighborhood is, and those kids are pieces of shit. And they are. They are big pieces of shit, and they are shitty fucking people who never leave their neighborhood. And actually, there's a point in Philly, where Northeast Philly, where this happened, wanted to secede from downtown Philly because they felt like because the low-income tax base was, like, fucking with their property values.
Right.
And it's a white shithole up there, and this whole fucking straw man of an argument totally feeds fire to their stupid ideas. Like, well, we're right for this one, but it totally reinforces all their other dumb ideas.
You're right.
I think that we can all be in agreement that if this place had the name Chinks and refused to serve people Asian American or people from China, then I think we could all agree that that is a racist place.
That's racist. But
since
that does not
happen.
That's the definition of racism, yes.
Yeah.
That's discrimination against a race, yeah.
Right. Since
this is referring to some guy looking like another race.
Right, exactly. And so, since that does not happen, since racism is not reported to have happened at the place, I just don't understand why this is such an issue.
It's no more or less racist than if a guy can dunk really well and you call him White Jordan.
And that is the question of, like, what it's the internet. You can't measure outrage, and, like, you can't measure what people actually care about. Like, it's like the concept of, like, well, 50 million people watched the orangutan pee in its mouth. Like, how many people to the orangutan pee in its mouth was it really, like, a meaningful? It's like, did everyone casually look at this article? You don't know.
Oh,
like,
right.
Is this actually, the question even is, like, more, I think, interesting of, like, is this an even issue? Like, do, like, is it a national issue?
Right.
Like, we can't tell because it's on Gawker, so a lot of people see it, but does anyone care?
You're saying, why were there so many millions of clicks? Was it because people like reading stories about Philadelphia? Was it because people are actually outraged at racism? Was it because of this or like, that? We assume that people are outraged.
And they just have, and if it's on Gawker, people will read it.
Right.
If it's like, it's there, but does it mean they're upset about it? I don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
Why are they reading it in the first place? Are they reading it because they're actually interested in this, or are they reading because they've got nothing to do at work?
Yeah, totally.
And that's probably what it is.
No, and that's how I read it. It's like, oh, I had nothing. I had 5 minutes to kill at work. The article is less than a page. The actual Inquirer article kind of isn't feasible to read at work because it's like 3 or 4 pages. And yeah, it's like the equivalent of like watching like a chick on a trampoline. Like, it's hard to tell.
And also, just to maybe give you a little idea of what Philadelphia is like, scariest part of Philadelphia to me, Kensington. You know why? Because they're all white, and they all are very translucent, and you can see their whole digestive tracts like those little guppies because they're doing so much meth.
I will
tell
you.
That's the scariest place I've ever been to.
The most frightening place I did a road gig in where they shot slap shots in, what was it called?
Yeah.
I can't even remember the name. It's next to Three Forks. Not Yorktown. It's right next to Unionville. Either way, it's in the dead middle of the state. And I've been in the worst neighborhoods in Philly. I've never been so terrified as being out in these boonies. Because it's like there's no one to help. Like, I did a gig. There were 3 fights after the show. 2 were girl on girl.
Nice. Like, that's awesome.
I woke up in the morning with – I couldn't – no one had long – no one – I had to call my friend's cell phone to pick me up. This was like back in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And no one had long distance on their phone. So a guy who I watched wake up in the morning and shoot heroin with a baby on his lap.
God!
Which is actually less bad than the girl I was staying with who woke up in the morning and sat there and smoked a cigarette with a baby on her lap. Mm. I mean, technically the guy with the heroin's in kind of in the right.
Yeah.
Compared to her.
Yeah.
And he drove me to the gas station to make a long distance call to a Delaware number. Nothing too fancy. Uh-huh. And he walked out of the house and he was like, oh shit, I forgot my bat. And I'm like, why do you have to carry a bat? And he's like, I owe a guy $80. I'm like, that's a bad neighborhood.
And that's in the middle, that's in the mid state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Like, James Carville says in Pennsylvania is interesting because on the left you got Pittsburgh, on the right you got Philadelphia, and everything in the middle is Alabama. So, yeah, it makes sense to me.
It's frightening. Yeah. I mean, like, the rural areas are waste. People are, like, made to believe that, like, you know, inner city is dangerous. And it is, but, like, no one, those kids out there really don't give a shit. Like, if they break their arm in the fight, it has no meaning. Like, yeah. They don't care if they get a black
guy. At least in the South, they got cousins to fuck and banjos to play. So they got stuff to occupy their time.
Yeah. Sure. Not
priorities.
If you don't have cows to milk, and maybe you don't.
like, they say it kind of soulfully. Like, maybe, you, like, that's a good politician there. Like, you don't even have a cow to milk.
Yeah. Every man a king, every boy a cow milker. I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
A cow in every barn and a car in every garage. A banjo in every lap. A cousin on every dick. I guess we got to move along, Nate. So let me close out this segment so we can get to that other thing next week when the war actually starts. So,
right.
Is that going to happen? Are we going to go to war?
I hope so. I'll enlist because I know I was.
It won't be a lot. It won't be a lot.
We're talking about North Korea, but you know, I'm a green belt in Taekwondo. I can fight these people.
Yeah. You can do a hurricane. Can you do a tornado?
You racist! You're a racist.
I can do a tornado kick. I took Taekwondo, which is good in case I'm attacked by boards.
Yeah. That's those boards. North Korean boards.
Yeah. More on Korea next week, and that was The Probe with Nathan Frizzell. Hey Nate, you want to do something real quick?
What's that?
Step into JD's office.
Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome to JD's office.
Hey, Nate, what you been watching this week? What's on your mind?
And I actually got the chance to see a lot of shit this week.
Like, you mean shit, like a lot of shit, like, or a lot of, like, really bad stuff?
No, just a lot of shit, like a lot of, like, I got to see a lot of stuff.
Okay.
The season 3 premiere of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Are you watching Game of Thrones? Have you seen it?
No, I don't know. I hate fantasy so much that all that nudity still doesn't get me into it.
You hate? Wait, what?
Look,
what is it about fantasy that you hate?
Dragons? Dragons are really cool.
No, man. I don't like dragons. No, it's, I don't know. Like, I'd rather just watch. Look, I don't know. Look, I'm not into it. I don't care.
That's fine. That's okay.
I'd rather watch Hoosiers again and imagine Barbara Hershey naked than actually see these chicks that probably used to work at UCB naked.
I got one. I don't like mob movies. They're my dragons. I'm like, I don't care.
That makes sense. I don't like mob movies. Actually, I don't like anything other than stupid funny movies and like sports movies. And cartoons.
Like cartoons. What's
wrong with you two?
Well, tell us about Game of Thrones. Sell us on it. I know a lot of our listeners like it, so go ahead.
Well, I will say this. Game of Thrones is a bit of a commitment because, you know, you have to listen. You have to pay attention. There's a lot of characters, and you got to sort of, like, follow along. But at the end of the day, it's basically about a country collapsing on itself, like this kingdom collapsing on itself where everybody claims the throne. And so they all start to go to war with one another. But it's Dan, not as like
wake me up when he gets done with this. I'm falling asleep.
I started thinking about sitting on a throne of games. That's the whole time you're talking about like some like shitty rich kid who has like all the board games and he makes you visit him and is like, sit on my throne of games and you just want to play Risk and he's like, no, you have to sit on the throne of games.
Nate, I'm sorry, that was incredibly rude of me. But hilarious, yes, but incredibly rude. Continue, please.
No, that's fine. It's really well done. It's just like House of Cards. It's well done, whether you like the subject matter or not, mm-hmm. whether you like the style or not. It's well done. It's well acted. Peter Dinklage is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, little short Peter Dinklage.
Yeah,
he's awesome. They got a woman who plays the queen. I forget her character's name. I think it's Cersei or something like that. She's awesome. Like, it's just a really good show. And there's something about it that's just – it's like testosterone. There's a lot of testosterone in this show. Mm. Like, you know, they people just drink, fuck, and kill each other. So that's why I like it. Well, it's one of the reasons I like it anyway.
Well, maybe I'll give it another try. Everything you've recommended to me has worked out. So I'll give it another shot just in good faith.
Well, now keep in mind though that it's a commitment. Like the first season starts out slow, and all the seasons start out kind of slow, and then they build and they just kind of explode.
I'm gonna argue that I have no patience for anything, and I watched the first four episodes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be good.
Okay,
first four episodes like more like you spend an hour and a half mm-hmm. of your time, you'll be fine.
Do I need to drink while I do it? Do I need to be high or anything?
No. You do need to dragons, faggot.
All right. Well, what else is what else have you seen? What's going on?
I went to the midnight premiere of Evil Dead this week.
How was it? Did you go to Compton and see it?
No, I tried to convince people to go, and of course I'm not going to go by myself. But I tried to convince people to go, and
your racist friends
would
go to a black neighborhood and see it.
Exactly, my friends don't like black people, even though I'm the one from the South and I'm just inherently racist. Apparently, they're the ones that don't want to go to Compton and see movies with a predominantly African American crowd.
But was the movie awesomely bad as we might expect?
You know. When you compare it to the shit that they're cranking out nowadays, it actually was a lot of fun. Like it's not quite as tongue in cheek as the original, but there is still a lot of that wit. So you don't like when the characters make stupid decisions, you don't sit there and go, "Wow, God, what idiots! What are you doing?" You're just sort of like, "Oh, well, they're gonna die." You know, it's just like, but it's really, really fucking gory. There's blood everywhere. There's people hacking off their limbs. And there's a lot of moments where it's actually a pretty fucking scary movie.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Hold it. Wait, what kind of movie?
Scurry.
All right, very good.
It's a scurry movie.
I just saw Reanimator.
Reanimator?
You ever see that? That's a good horror movie. It's about this guy who has like a serum that like makes people come back from the dead. And then he's like a scientist trying to like make people live forever.
Is his name Jesus?
No, his name is the guy who invented the form is Hans Gruber. I'm not even kidding. The Die Hard totally referenced that movie.
Oh wow,
it's a good movie though.
That's great. I saw Oz the Great and Powerful this week.
Oh, can I tell you? I was in the hood and in the marquee on the theater.
Uh-huh.
I guess because they didn't want to spell it out, it just said the Oz.
The Oz. The Oz.
It was like an uptown. It was like an uptown theater, and I was just going by. I'm like, it's hilarious.
I saw it, and I can't wait for it to come out on DVD so I can buy it and take it home and listen to the Division Bell while watching Oz the Great and Powerful.
What's the Division Bell?
It's a Pink Floyd album. It's not Dark Side of the Moon. Okay.
Oh.
Right. Shit, damn it.
You want, well, you know, you if like any Batman director...
Dragons? You don't know every Pink Floyd album by heart, you son of a bitch.
That's like if your it, dragon.
If any director is going to do something like that with one of their films, it's going to be Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows? Maybe in like a couple months down the road, they'll be like, hey, did you know if you align Oz Great and Powerful with a division bell, it works?
Wait, Sam Raimi made that movie?
Yeah, he directed it. Danny Elfman did the music, and it was really, the music was really nice. The acting was good. I mean, the story was decent. I mean, it's a prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Is it not good?
It was all right. I mean, I got really no problem with it. James Franco stars as Oz. I people bash him. I don't know what the fuss is about him.
No,
about
I think him. People like
I like
him.
I dig
you know,
him.
He does, you know, Alan knows because my girlfriend watches it, but he has a reoccurring role in General Hospital, and he took it after he was famous.
So he currently has a...
Yeah, like
really?
He plays like a psychopath. It's kind of funny.
Oh, that's great.
That, you know why people give him shit? Because he does like... There's all these people who want to say he's anointing him as a genius because he does like quirky, offbeat stuff.
Right.
And then there's all these people who are like, ah, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, so what? It's not that good. And then the truth is, it's like, he's a good actor and it's fine.
Right. My, one problem I have... What's up, Nate?
I was just going to say, he gets that reputation because he's also like... He sort of does a bunch of different things. Like... He kept on taking classes. He's got like 5 degrees, like even after he was famous. He's a photographer. He's a writer. He's like actually published books.
Okay, I'm hearing nothing but good things about him, and everybody I know hates him. I like this guy.
Well, I mean, that's like, what I'm saying. Like, I like him too. I don't understand why he gets a bad rap from some people. But
well, here's an example. Like, I know somebody who's like, he has an art exhibit in London. I actually know somebody who worked on the project, and it's like, it's James Franco's art exhibit in London. And then really what that means is James Franco writes you an email once a week and being like, can we get like a fucking hot air balloon in Central Park? And it's like, I guess so. Do you have the money? It's like, yeah, talk to this dude. He'll probably shell out the money for it. And then it's like, he's having like a great time and doing whatever dumb idea comes into his head.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Has he really done an awesome? Like, what has he done that's really been great?
He starred alongside Danny McBride in Your Highness. I rest my case.
He was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, he hosted the Oscars.
Well, that was a train wreck.
He and some performance enhancing drugs given to him by Tommy Chong hosted the Oscars.
Yeah, he was fucked up.
Also, another thing about Oz the Great and Powerful, the movie that is, and not the character.
The Oz.
It's great. Mila Kunis, she's cute. You know, she was the Wicked Witch of the West, and then when she turned like really evil looking, she kind of looked like Ellen DeGeneres, which I thought was funny.
That was fun.
And then the Wicked Witch of the East, who is played by the chick that looks like Natalie Portman but is not Natalie Portman, Rachel Wise. Is that her name?
Yeah, she's not Natalie Portman.
She turned evil looking, and she just looked like Paul Kantner from Jefferson Airplane. Look that up. Trust me, that's hilarious what I just said. I promise. And another thing, my one complaint about it, and I don't know if this is just happening in movies or just in society or whatnot, is there a such thing as a woman who doesn't get her way, who doesn't cry about it? Because there was about 18 of those in Oz and Great and Powerful. Because here's half the movie right here. But you're just supposed to be a wizard to bring my family back. And I got
a good girl cry.
Oh, dude, I could. Dude, you hang around it so much. I mean, look, Snow hung around the black people in Montreal all his life, so he became a rapper. Hang around a bunch of whiny bitches all my life, so I've become a whiny bitch.
Let me ask you this. Do thin women cry different than a big girl?
Big girls, well, I never make them cry. You know what I mean? I just make them happy.
I understand.
So I wouldn't know. I've only seen. I feed them ho hos and I feed them a ding dong.
Yeah, that's good. I like that's good. So the big girls don't. You've never seen a big girl cry?
That's right. No.
I feel like they cry
neither,
all the
neither
time.
Is Frankie Valli apparently.
Oh yeah, big girls don't cry.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to next week. I was looking forward to next week going and seeing 42 at the Pavilion Park Slope, which is the movie theater that is nearest where Ebbets Field used to be, the Jackie Robinson story that is. I won't be able to because I'll be participating in the West Monroe High School alumni baseball game, which may or may not feature Chuck Finley, the only man to strike out 4 batters in an inning twice, and West Monroe legend and LSU legend and future Saints legend, Barkevious Kiki Mingo. So,
but he struck out. So what happened? One of the batters reached on, struck out and then reached base.
On strike 3 was a swinging strike and it was a pass ball, so he reached first base. He struck out the whole side, so he got 4 strikeouts in an inning. Twice. He's the only man to do that twice.
Both times pass balls or one time a wild pitch?
I have no idea. Okay. I was just told this by our coworker of mine. But this is going to be an extended. This is going to be an extended probe because we have a filmmaker. This is Dan Goodman. He's a filmmaker. And Nate, I want you to hear this. And I want the listeners to hear some of this guy's ideas. And it's hard to tell whether these ideas are half baked or genius, and it might be both. But
they're real.
They're real. Okay.
They're very real.
Tell us about the movie project briefly. A movie project you worked on that I was an extra in.
Yes.
Recently, tell us about that.
Adam was on set for a short film I made that I hope to be. I'm working on financing for getting the feature length made. It's a movie called Skinja, and it's about a stripper by night, ninja by later that night, and she's a single mom, and the city takes her kids because she's getting naked and doing karate, and they don't understand. And the movie tagline is, you can't spell assassin without assassin sin, and it's pretty good. But I got a lot of new things in the works.
Oh, what else? Tell us some, I know some of these projects. But yeah. I want you to tell us.
I'm working on an animated version of Hell Cop.
Uh-huh.
And Hell Cop is about the only cop in hell, and nobody's happy to see him. and then me and Adam, when I get some time, I'm trying to develop a movie I'm super proud of, and I think would ultimately be the hardest one to get made, but I think would ultimately
absolutely.
Be the best one, which is I came up with the idea. I love a fish out of water story, like you know, like Cool Runnings, like one of those movies where the guy who can't do it has to do it,
right?
You know, like that fucking like how Precious is about her wanting to play for the Baltimore Ravens, and she can't read, and she's like never gonna play football. She's totally built for it. So the movie I came up with was called Clan Dunk,
yeah.
Clan. Dunk, and it's about the best basketball player in America is a Klansman. He went to Bob Jones University. He's a shooting guard, and it's the film would take place in the events after the Pacer debacle, of like you have an all black team in a white neighbor in a
after
white,
the Malice in the Palace.
After the Malice in the Palace,
yeah.
you have an all black team. They're doing terrible. There's a fight. And all the Indiana residents are called the Indiana Kings.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it, I think they should be called, like, they changed their name to the Indiana Supremacists.
Right.
You know, and they, so the owner is like, how do we get people in here?
They need a ringer.
Yeah. So they,
who's
it's like,
ringer?
And they see this kid, this amazing shooting guard out of Bob Jones University, not scouted right. by anybody, and with the number one pick, uh-huh. they figure at the very least people come, will pack the stands to boo the kid.
Right.
And he comes, and he's amazing because he's nothing but net because he learned to shoot on he had a hoop attached to a burning cross, so you can't bank that. It's always
right.
it's got to be swish every time. But for the first half of the season,
it's weird. All his teammates are black.
Right, all his teammates
so
are black.
This is trouble.
There's even there's one Uyghur, and there's a born again Muslim.
Okay,
and who's like Sharif Abdul-Rahim on the Nuggets.
Right.
It's modeled after that.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rahim.
Mahmoud, I always make that mistake.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not, it comes up more often than you think. Because he would always torch Jordan. That's why it always comes up. So the first half of the season, in order for Clan Dunk, everyone calls him Clan Dunk, by the way.
That's like his name. His name
yeah.
is Clan Dunk.
All my movies... Whoever the title of the movie is also the character's name,
right?
Because you just cut out the middleman, and so Clan Dunk, he's so good, he has to steal the ball from his own teammates. They won't pass him the ball,
right? Because he's racist.
Yeah, and like so he's like Iverson, where he can take the ball end to end, and then it comes down to right before the All-Star break, it's a last. They have to inbound. They have 2 seconds left, and the superstar doesn't. He's not open.
Uh-huh.
And then the point guard just goes, fuck it, because nobody's going to guard Clan Dunk.
Right.
Like, they're like, they know. Nobody's going to pass him the ball. This is easy. He inbounds the ball, nothing but net. They win the game. And they start to realize maybe, just maybe.
Maybe they're not so different after all.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the final straw is the born-again Muslim who hates Clan Dunk comes to his locker. And they bond over two big important things, which is one, he's listening to Michael McDonald music.
Mm-hmm.
Which both white trash and black people love.
Mm-hmm.
And he's reading the born again Muslim's favorite book, The Protocols of Zion. And then they bond together.
Right.
A I mean, that's what white racists and black people have in common. They both hate Jews.
Right.
And I think at the end, the movie could be really inspiring.
So so a black man and a white man bond over their hatred for Jews. Now, tell me again why this movie can't be made.
I don't know. I think it's probably the subject matter.
Yeah.
At the end, though, I think I have a really great scene at the end where... So his mom, he goes back home and things are going great. He ends up getting a black girlfriend because he'd never seen a booty. They take him to a strip club to celebrate. Oh,
right.
And he'd never seen
an ass like that.
Yeah, he's never seen it. And he meets
falls in love.
Yeah. He meets this black chick named Icy, mm-hmm. like the diamond, not like the dessert.
Right.
And then there's like a good scene where like she goes to sit with the players' wives and she's like the only black chick there.
Mm-hmm.
Like she bonds with the one Asian chick.
Oh, right, because all the black guys have white black wives.
And she's like, wait, what? Are you sure this is where the players' wives are? And then, so he goes back home right before the playoffs to get back to his roots.
Uh-huh.
And his mom makes him like a gift, and it's like a satin head to toe breakaway clan warm up suit.
Mm-hmm.
And people come out. And but what I left out is that he's so racist, he won't dunk.
Oh, right, because that's a black thing to do. Right.
So he believes, he actually is not, he's not even a hateful guy. He just loves white people and loves James Naismith basketball.
Right.
And wears short shorts like Stockton would.
And he's got a 45-inch vertical. Like, he can dunk, but he will not. That's the thing. Against his beliefs.
He jumps above the rim and then lays it in.
Oh, okay. And he doesn't even finger roll it because that's George Gervin, a black man.
No, this is literally like, bloop. Yeah, like, okay. And that's called the, quote-unquote, the Klan dunk.
Oh, let's Isaac Newton dunk it for him, basically. Yeah.
And then what happens, I mean, like, everybody gets it. Like, in order to win the big game,
they need him.
He's going to have to
dunk.
They need
to work together.
Yeah. Like, and he's going to dunk the ball. So they get to the finals are in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's happy to see him.
Uh-huh. It's game 7.
Yeah, it's game 7.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets all these death threats of being like, if you walk out there in that Klan hood, then, like, that's it.
Right.
We're gonna take you out. And there's an amazing show of support. So his teammates all come out, the white ones and the black ones all come out in satin breakaway warm up Klan suits and like a sign of solidarity. And then also the Sacramento Kings or the Indiana Kings have, instead of the terrible towel, they have the terrible hood that happens like mid season where they all like wave around like, you know, like you give the fan like terrible hood night.
Uh-huh.
I think it'd be great. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good movie. I think one of the other movies like Skinner would have to be successful.
Right.
And then they'll be like, okay.
You got to get some clout first.
Let him make.
Well, you know what we also have to do is, and I think that the Bi-Coastal Hootenanny would be happy to assist you with this. We got to help you get your pitch, trim your pitch down.
there's a short one. I just like telling the details. The short one is like, he's the best basketball prospect in America. And then the tagline is, sometimes the only color is winning.
See, that's good. Yeah. It's all good stuff. I think you got good stuff. Yeah, it's the subject matter is going to be a tough sell, but yeah, that's fun. That sounds fun.
It could be good. I'd like to. I don't know how to write a detective story, but I've been trying to write this thing called The Sweaty Detective, and it's like it would be like a cop show, and this guy Teddy Juicy Majuskiewicz. Because if you sweat a lot and your name is Majuskiewicz, people are going to call you Juicy.
Yeah.
He's the best cop on the force, first dude on every crime scene. The problem is he sweats so much, he contaminates every crime scene.
Oh, he gets his DNA in everything.
Yeah, he gets his DNA. So every week he has to prove he didn't do it. So, like, every episode starts with him, like, handing over his badge. Like, Majuskiewicz, give me your badge. And then he's like, he hands him the badge. And it's super, like, slimy. It's like, all right, just put the badge in a bag and give it to me.
Wow.
Well, that's tough to write. It's hard.
Well, we got to take a break because we're running out of time.
Sorry.
That was comedian and filmmaker from Philadelphia, who's very angry at Joe's steaks instead of Chink's steaks now. But and that was the pro. No, wait. And that,
no,
that
was
let's
JD's
step
office.
Out of JD's. Let's step out of JD's.
Dumbass.
That out. Shut up, asshole. Let me edit that. Wait, that
no,
JD's.
You can't edit this out. You always edit your mistakes out. You don't edit mine out.
So I do, too. I mean, there. If they're funny.
I like this stuff right here.
Keep this. Well, good. I can't wait for a sports segment next, so we can talk about Rutgers, so I can say the F word. Let's step out of JD's office and take a break. You're listening to the Bi-Coastal Hootenanny, starring Nate and Adam.
Here at the Red Stick Podcast, we're more than just a trio of debased guys drinking and swearing into a microphone. We also explore more enlightened topics like science and technology.
If they could put the technology of a woman saying, come in my pussy, into intergalactic space travel, we would have colonized the universe by now.
So join us every week for the Red Stick Podcast on iTunes or at theredstick.com.
Dropping science like Galileo dropped the orange.
Hola, greetings, guten tag, hello. You like laughing? Of course you do. You're not a fascist. Or maybe you are. But even fascists like a good joke now and then. The Family Dinner Comedy Troupe is ready to provide that fascist joke in addition to many patriotic ones and a number of morally neutral humorous comments. The Family Dinner is the premier improvisational comedy troupe of Baton Rouge. We perform weekly at the local laser tag. Join us Friday nights for sketch, music, and extemporaneous fun with audience interaction and very little personal injury. Check us out online at facebook.com/familydinnerimprov.
Take it back. Do, 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 do. Take it back.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Take it back. Do, 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 do. Take it back.
Welcome back to the Bi-Coastal Hootenanny. I am Nate Frizzell in Hollywood, California, along with Adam Wilson and Dan Goodman, both in New York, New York. Just to remind you folks, we did not mention in La Boite All Letters how you can reach us. We encourage you to send us even more mail at nateandadam@theredstick.com. So drop us a line. Tell us how much you hate us. Tell us how much you love us. And, by the way, to honor the request of last week's La Boite à Letter, I don't know if that's the correct way to say it, but there will be a picture of me on our website in a dress. So
it's on there right now.
Oh, it's on there right now. So yeah. There you go. Go take a look at that and then drop us a line. Tell me what you think. I think I make an ugly woman.
I'll show you. It's
strapless?
Yeah,
you just have to go to the website.
Yeah,
and find
you're right.
I'm going to show him right now, actually.
But we are now going to bring you into our favorite part of the show. We bring you to Adam Wilson and Balls.
Welcome to Balls. I am your Balls caster, Adam Tootenanny Wilson. We don't have a whole lot of time, so I got to file through a few things really quick. First off, this week was opening week in Major League Baseball. I live in Brooklyn, the birthplace of baseball in a sense, in that the oldest baseball field on earth is in Carroll Gardens, Carroll Park.
Right.
That's been used as a baseball field since 1849. It's the oldest continually used baseball field on the face of the planet. They need to take the concrete out and put grass back in, but that's my opinion. I saw something I thought I would never see. I saw a Yankees and Red Sox game with less than 20,000 people in the stands, and this was opening week. I know it was a bit chilly, but I couldn't believe it. I know the teams are bad, but that proves to you how front runnery the New York fans can be.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. It was super embarrassing.
It was.
And I know Yankee ticket holders of like they just keep jacking the prices up. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's for they're bad seats. There's right. A lot of bad seats mm-hmm. in that ballpark.
Yeah, a lot of obstructed views. First of all, obstructed views, exorbitant prices, which are not lowering, but the payroll's not lowering, but the quality of play is. And I hate the Yankees, and I hate the Red Sox even more. But God, that is an intense rivalry, especially between the fans.
Totally.
I was shocked to see the lack of fans there. I was not shocked to see when the Red Sox won games one and two, the amount of bench whites with saggy jeans, smoking cools, and
Well, that's just like
talking like characters out of The Fighter from Lowell.
That's just like out here, though. The Los Angeles sports fans are the most fair weather, awful, terrible sports fans ever. When USC,
even if Dodger fans weren't fair weather, it's impossible to get out there until the fifth inning because of traffic.
Right, right. Well, if you know when USC was stealing, you know, our Associated Press award. And then when they won their own national championship, you saw nothing but crimson and gold out here.
Uh-huh.
Now it's nowhere near as often to be found as it was then. Same thing when the Clippers were better this season than the Lakers. Everybody was going to Clippers games, and now Everybody's back to the Lakers games.
You know? At any rate, but I did get to see – like I hate the Yankees and I hate the Red Sox even more. I do like Andy Pettit because he – I call him Le Ragon d'Angry, the gray nutria. He did get a win. He got his first impressive eight inning outing. a 42-year-old pitcher, and then wait, a 40-year-old pitcher got the win, and a 43-year-old dude got the save. Mariano Rivera came back. Oh, it was nice to see him get saved. I guess 609 now. So it's nice to see them.
By the way, how funny must that, like, that clubhouse, like, they're all 38.
Yeah.
Like, it must be the dullest, like.
They're all the age that my grandfather was when I was born. That's how old these guys are. That's yeah,
like,
the Yankees.
Like, Corona is 38. It's like, it must be just the
Hiroki
most.
Corona. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it must be the dullest, like, clubhouse. Like, guys just talking about, like, wife and kid shit.
Yeah. They're like, no, these guys are probably like, hey, guys, have you heard Boz Skaggs is playing the Apollo this summer? Let's go see it. Oh, but that's nothing. The night before, Huey Lewis and the News are playing Irving Plaza. Let's all go, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Yankees clubhouse.
No, like in a year, they're all going to form a cover band.
A Genesis cover band.
Yeah, like it's dad rock.
Also, I want to say this. All the buzz was about Kevin Ware from Louisville's broken tibia, which was the most gruesome injury I've ever seen. And I'm kind of guilty saying that because I reacted worse to this than I did watching Owen Hart die instantly.
Oh, and God. I saw it live.
I mean, on pay-per-view.
Right.
But that's so weird that I saw a guy die, knew instantly that he was dead,
right.
And I felt way worse about this. I guess because Owen Hart's blue blazer outfit covered up all the blood? I don't know.
Something like that is so epic that it's gotta look, even if it's real, it's gotta look somewhat fake or somewhat staged. Like, it's just so big.
Yeah.
Like, but this was, like, the bone came out of his friggin' leg.
I'm also suspecting I'm getting softer as I get older because I don't think I would have reacted so badly when I was 18. I got really genuine. I mean, I had nightmares about it a couple nights in a row. I had anxiety about it.
You know what's bad for me is that UFC guy who got he had ear cauliflower and he got hit in the ear and the cauliflower burst.
And it just, oh, God.
That was fucking bad.
Jeez. Was it just pus everywhere or
it
blood?
Blood. It was like, it was everything.
It
wasn't
like,
that hurt, but like, it was just, it looked fucking it
basically,
awful.
So the apron of the octagon looked like the cover from Metallica's Load album. moving on, I'm anxious tonight because just across the Hudson River in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at MetLife Stadium, WrestleMania 29 will occur. And before New Orleans is on the clock, that is WrestleMania 30 in the Superdome next year, hopefully. I'm pulling for The Undertaker to beat, who's he fucking fighting? Is it CM Punk? Who's The Undertaker? He's fighting himself.
He's actually
fighting his
death.
Own demons.
Yeah.
He's actually fighting the death of Paul Bearer in the back of his mind. Somebody asked me what streak was more impressive, the Miami Heat's 26-game win streak or The Undertaker's 20-0 streak at WrestleMania. Clearly The Undertaker because the NBA is more rigged. So
that's funny. But it is real. Like, people pretend like that's not an impressive streak, but like, you have to be the most popular wrestler.
You have to be more popular than your other. Yeah, that,
like it's yeah. It, that's like a legitimate
for you,
sports streak.
For you to be on the positive end of so many storylines in a row, that is, and you're just some redheaded stepchild from Austin, Texas. Hats off to you, Mark Hallis or Mark Calloway. That's his name. Yeah,
our mutual friend Trey Gallion saw him in an airport.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like the Undertaker in the airport. He just wasn't wearing the hat.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Hey, when you and Mankind fought in Austin, that was like one of the greatest things I saw as a kid." And then Undertaker just looks at him and goes, "I'm glad we did some good that night." And then just turns right back around.
And then he got on his horse and rode off into the sunset.
Oh, that's great. The Undertaker is fighting CM Punk, whom I saw throw the first pitch out at Citi Field on April 5th of this week when the Mets played the Marlins on the Marlins' 20th birthday. Mazel tov to the Miami baseball club.
Where's CM Punk from?
I don't know. I hope he goes back there. Are you a fan of this?
No.
I'm good. Really? Because being straight edge is so cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
And Living Color is the greatest band of all time. And that's his theme song, Cult of Personality.
Is it? That's hilarious.
It's like all straight edge. CM stands for Chick Magnet. Did you know that?
No.
So Chick Magnet Punk, Cult of Personality by Living Color is his theme song, and he's straight edge. And his slogan is best of the world. Fuck him. Anyway. Monday night, we're recording this on Sunday, Monday night, April 8th, the Louisville Cardinals wearing Zuba pants will be playing against the Michigan Wolverines for the national title. I hope Michigan wins because I think their coach is, up and coming, and I hate Rick Pitino, and I hate Zubas, and I hate KFC, and I hate two of the three Judds. And I like Ted Nugent, and I like Bob Seger, and even though I disagree with him all the time, I like Michael Moore, And I hate Madonna, but I can pretend that she's
wait,
not from
KFC's, where's KFC from? It's from Louisville?
I guess. I don't know. It's red. I think Colonel Harlan Sanders was from Louisville.
All right. Sorry.
Louisville.
I didn't mean to derail that.
Muhammad Ali is from Louisville. Johnny Unitas is from Louisville. What's not to like? But, you know, I'm going for Michigan. I'll say something. Huh? What's that, Nate?
I was just going to ask you, how did you pick these two to be in the...
I didn't. I am part Trojan, so begrudgingly I picked the Spartans of Michigan State to win it all, and I was ashamed. I had a bad bracket year. I always beat Dick Vitale, so that's. I just hope my streak over him is still intact. I'll check out his bracket.
Was his bracket like all number ones?
I mean, he's half blind, so he only fills out the East and Midwest brackets. He doesn't even see the.
His bracket has Bell's palsy.
Right.
I know.
Right.
I know a couple of people who won their brackets when the Final Four was determined simply because they had one of the Final Four right. That's right. How effed of a year it was.
Yeah, it was a crazy year. But I'll say Gonzaga has now joined Duke as one of those schools that white kids pick to go to their Final Four every year, but they almost never do. They're the fool's gold now.
Yeah,
and congratulations to them. I mean, they worked. That's quite a pedestal.
It's like Davidson
Davidson. What a well coached, by the way. Speaking of being well coached, let's talk about Rutgers for a second. Mike Rice, former head coach of Rutgers men's basketball. We've seen this video of the coach throwing basketballs at his players and pushing his players around and calling his players faggots and pussies. I mean, I got thoughts on this that are hard, and I have to be artful in my explanation of them because sure. I've been misunderstood this week. But Nate, where the hell are you? Tell
I'm
us
over
what
here.
You think about
I'm just walking around.
You saw this. What do you think about this? You think it was the right thing to fire him, right?
God.
Or do you? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't care. You can think what you want.
Do I think it's the right thing to fire him? Yes, I think they have to. Once that got released, that video was released, they had to fire him.
Right.
So yes, they made the right move, but. Have I been called pussies by a pussy by my coaches before? Have I been, you know, slapped around by my coaches before? Yes, I've been treated violently by coaches before. It's part of sports. I didn't walk away going, "Oh my God, my life is ruined. My coach slapped me around and called me a fag."
The kick was the only one that bothered.
That was really bad.
He did cross the line.
Like you could just like some kid tripped and like. Sprained his knee. You're on scholarship. Mm-hmm. Like it just
right.
Like
that's an excellent point. Yeah, I'll say like I've been called a fag and a pussy by coaches before. I've had a ball thrown at me and stuff like that, and I never really minded for two reasons. One, once I step on the field or the court, I was a basketball player. Once I step on the court, I have no feelings. My feelings can't be hurt. I know most people differ from me on that, but I never minded it. I do know as a 32-year-old man, if I was a coach, I'd know better than to coach that way. And I knew my coach was an idiot for coaching that way.
I mean, it's not a good way to coach.
It's not. It's not very effective.
No.
I could respond positively to it. And I know. And also, anybody defending Mike Rice here, if he acted like that during a game, he'd be ejected. And he and he was ejected.
He was ejected.
That's why you don't act like that. You just act like it's about acting like an adult.
He's definitely an ass. And, right. And you know – He acted like an ass, and he needed to be treated like an ass. That being said, I think it's a lot more common for coaches to be hot-headed and act that way than people think. Like they act like this is such – my God, this is such a tragedy. It's
right.
Like, no, this is a pretty common occurrence.
It's akin to like if my boss at work called me a fag, I wouldn't care. But I know never to call somebody a fag at work.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? It's just – it's kind of like that. Good that he was fired, but I've in a weird way. I mean, I've played for guys like that and not really mind that. It's a weird thing.
This is back to where we kind of started. Was like it's bad behavior, sure. Is it national issue worthy behavior? Not really.
No, and even though it happened at Rutgers, where. I mean, some nappy-headed hoes happened at Rutgers.
A lot of
the gay kid jumping off the George Washington Bridge happened.
I mean, that gay kid jumping off the George Washington Bridge never started so many fights between me and my girlfriend. Of like,
oh wow! Oh.
I mean, just because it's like it's super sad, but like nobody made him jump off that bridge.
Right. No, the real bad. It's such a crazy thing,
shitty to say, but women, you cannot tell a woman that. She's
I'm not wacky saying this because Penn Jillette agrees with me, and Look, I'm telling you, I'm a Christian, but I really kind of go by. Penn Jillette's one of the best preachers
in
the world.
He's really good.
The bad guy in that situation was the kid who jumped off the bridge.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing.
Nobody
to
wants to say,
that's
but it's
the
like
asshole.
He's not supposed
he was
to kill himself. If I was gay, I'd feel more strongly that way. Of like,
yeah.
why did you let that happen?
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't really agree. I mean, we could go off forever about this. I think that there's more, there was more going on with this guy than just this one incident. I feel like, you know, I think he probably grew up feeling a lot, I don't even know what to, but I just feel this is probably like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Totally. That's totally legitimate.
And this is a sports segment, and if you're wondering what this issue, the issue right. of the gay kid jumping off the George Washington Bridge has to do with sports, skydiving or cliff diving.
Well, I'm just, yeah. record, like, it's like, Jesus Christ, like how much, like, I mean, how many leaks do they have in that place? I mean, for the love of God.
Can you shut off a camera?
Yeah, it's like.
The film department's got to be jumping for joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rough alumni here.
Hey, close out this segment. Let's end the pod, mate.
All right. Well, that was Balls with Adam Wilson.
That was my balls.
All right. And I am Nathan Frizzell. I can be found on Twitter at Nathan Frizzell. Adam Wilson can be found at Tootnanny. And Dan, you got a Twitter handle?
At Daniel Goodman.
At Daniel Goodman. There we are. You can find all three of us on Twitter. I would assume you're also on Facebook, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Dan Goodman. I have a Jewish last name. If you have a Jewish last name, they're all early adopters of technology, and it's nearly impossible to get, like, I'm actually Dan Goodman 2 at Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Like, they're still, like, they're the first ones on that shit.
Right.
Nice.
You can also see Dan, one of Dan's projects that I love, at ghettomyspace.net. It is exactly what it sounds like. So, check that out. Also, visit our website at theredstick.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Listen to the Redstick podcast every Thursday-ish, and we're published every Monday. Please write us a nice little review on iTunes if you care to listen to us and if you like what you hear. 5-star reviews make us hard, and hopefully we make you hard too.
Boom.
Boom.
Well, that has been it for us, for Adam Wilson and our guest Dan Goodman, both in New York, New York. I'm Nate Frizzell in Hollywood, California. This has been the Bicoastal Hootenanny starring Nate and Adam. To all of our friends back home and to everyone in between, we say, Sweeney Twa!
Email us your questions, comments, and not-safe-for-work selfies to nateandadam@theredstick.com. This has been the Bicoastal Hootenanny, starring Nate and Adam. Next week, Adam joins us from the West Monroe High School alumni baseball game. Visit us at theredstick.com or subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow the show on Twitter at Bicoastal Hoot. This has been a production of The Red Stick.